About the Law.
Murphy's Law Podcast. Your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like, this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual. Right.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law Podcast. I'm Ian Murphy. With me is Chris Kuhn, as always. So we had a couple of ideas in mind for today's podcast. One kind of came up last minute that we thought we'd maybe have a little bit of fun with. So as everybody is probably very well aware, there's some events happening in Ukraine. We're not going to really talk a lot about that. Everybody else can do that on their own.
Yeah, we're not making light of it at all.
But we did have an interesting caller today, this morning. Somebody called the restaurant here asking if I was going to be a true patriot and join the fighting in Ukraine.
They didn't want barbecue?
apparently not. He was much more interested in whether or not I was a true patriot and was going to go to fight in Ukraine. So we figured we'd give John a call. John Rowe. Let's give John a call and see what John's got going on.
I wonder if he's going to Ukraine. Maybe he wants to go with you. Okay, John. I wonder what he's thinking when he sees caller ID.
She take bets on if he answers.
She said it was a lady, too, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think John wants to play.
This is Jackie. Please leave a message.
Oh, Jackie Rowe.
At the tone, please record your message.
Jackie Rowe.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Jackie. This is Daryl from the Ukrainian Defense Patriotic Fund. We heard that you are interested in potentially donating. We'd like to take up some donations on your behalf, or John's potentially. If you could give us a call back at your earliest convenience at 1-900-MIX-A-LOT. Kick them nasty thoughts.
Priceless.
We'll see what happens. They won't call back. We had somebody calling while we were closed multiple times a day, an older gal that would call us, and yeah, you know, she'd call us several times a day, the funniest of things. So we decided to start calling her back,
which is only fair,
a la Bart Simpson from the 90s, you know, just kind of making
a little bit
jokes.
Crank anchors,
why not? I mean, these people have way too much free time on their hands whatsoever. So for the record, no, I will not be going to Ukraine anytime soon.
Well, and actually,
I don't know about you.
No, I'm not planning on it. I mean, I'm thinking someplace a little warmer, a little sunnier. But you know,
that little place next to Russia, country next to Russia.
So Ukraine is a little country in Europe, and Russia's a country next to it. And Russia invaded Ukraine, and that's not so nice. paraphrasing our vice president. But actually, I'm curious what being an American patriot has to do with fighting in Ukraine, which is not part of...
I also wonder that, and I can't kind of wrap my brain around it. It's like you couldn't come up with some better way to...
it makes me wonder, did she stop to think and forget to start again? Because this doesn't really seem to tie into anything. Then again, neither is half the comments that we've heard and laughed at and joked about.
Sometimes I wish that we had, recording on the telephone line as well. That would be we would have content for days.
That would be fun
if that were.
I think it's fun enough. I mean, we could honestly, if we could track back far enough, find a way to get the phone numbers to call all these people back.
People aren't afraid to obviously leave their comments for everybody to see online, and so you can imagine what they're willing to say over the phone, where they know that their voices are not being recorded for anybody.
Especially when they try to hide their number.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah, I got text messages and phone calls and weird stuff. But the other thing we thought we'd briefly talk about a little bit is... So there's been some happenings. You know, we recently discussed...
Felicia in the last episode, yeah.
Yeah, so we did an episode about our local health department director... resigned yesterday. The Board of Health did accept her resignation 5 to 2 vote, I think.
5-3, I think.
Something like that. So she's out of there. They're going to be bringing in an interim health director. I do not know who he is.
Nope,
I'm sure he'll do an okay job. You know, for the record, I didn't really know Lisa Peacock before any of this stuff went on, even though her name is on the 2 documents that started our whole case, our cease and desist order and our violation of the emergency order. So her name is all over our entire thing, even though we didn't take it up with her and our local health department. They were being ordered to by the state health department to basically keep track of all that stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, she played a key part, at least in our area, for, you know, a lot of the restrictions and the mandates and other lawsuits, such as the Let Them Breathe. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's a lot of the other, definitely, that's where a lot of this vitriol at these Board of Health meetings has come from, not from our case, but from the mask mandate that was handed down August 23rd of last year, something like that. So there's been a lot of consternation at these open meetings, a lot of change in Board of Health commissioners.
Apparently, they've all, you know, I've watched most of them, but apparently they were really scary, and I just missed something.
You know, we talked about it briefly before that a lot of these people are not used to some of the public comments in these open meetings regarding the decisions that they're making. And unfortunately, it's, you know, like I said before, that's just kind of part of the process.
Well, it's kind of like it shows where culture has gone to where these, you know, the virtue signaling and this cancel culture where people are not used to anybody speaking out against what their thoughts are.
Yeah.
You know, and even in the schools with kids and they're being keyboard warriors and bullying people.
Yeah.
I mean, people on these boards are not used to having to face the public and face an actual live response to their decisions.
Right.
And when they do, it's got to be threatening. They must be scared.
Yeah, then comes the condescension, and that just...
Yeah. I mean, there was the one where the attorney for the health department was just mocking all the parents that were sitting in the audience.
I'm trying to remember her name off the top of my head, but she's not that good of an attorney, in my estimation. I've watched several of these hearings, and it seems like they have mastered the craft of condescending to virtually anybody. I mean, I watched them,
anybody and everybody.
I watched them condescend to the judge, Judge Mertz, in their hearings. Telling him, you know, what the law is, and
well, and again, if
everybody practices law differently, you know, I'm coming to find out. But boy,
well, and how about the state? And when it came to Hunter, when they essentially started off going, you know what, Judge, nothing you say here is relevant anymore. So
right,
you know,
and I don't think that does them any good. I mean, again, I'm not an attorney, but, you know, you'd think that you would want to, you know, have the judge on your side as much as possible. I mean, the psychology and some of that stuff is kind of incredible. But where we're going with this really is that Ms. Peacock did a podcast a few days ago before the Board of Health meeting, and I got a chance to listen to it. I know you've listened to it a little bit. And kind of the central thesis around this podcast is... the idea that Ms. Peacock has been singled out and harassed, and that is the true extent of why she is leaving or has resigned her position at the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. She's been in that position for a long time, 12 years. My understanding is she's done a pretty good job doing what she does. It's unfortunate that things happened the way that they did, and she took action the way that she did. A lot of parents were very upset with the mask mandate and how the masking choice was taken away from them just before school was started, which precipitated all of this activity at these Board of Health meetings, which naturally parents are upset about, their kids are upset. So, you know, we're not going to sit here and deny that there probably was some unacceptable behavior by some folks.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, your passions were strong. And it was also about the way that she had decided to go about this.
Yeah, that's my whole point is we're going to take a break here really quick. But we'll play some of the podcast and react to some of it. It's interesting to see her point of view with regards to bullying and harassment, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Murphy's Law Podcast. All right, welcome back to Murphy's Law Podcast. Ian Murphy, Chris Kuhn. I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but we got one of our first reviews or recommendation. And, well, I guess in this case, it's a non-recommendation for our podcast.
Really?
On Facebook. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we're winning fans over already.
What did they say?
So Gail says we're rude, hateful, and idiotic drivel.
Oh wow, Gail, my feelings are hurt.
I have to respond.
You have to.
I have to respond.
Gail, what made you watch?
Gail. So, my basic response was, says the lady leaving a nasty review. Hypocrite much? Try again, Gail. This time without so much rage, you weirdo. And then, of course, you know, a cry face gif. And then I had to throw this one at her. Instead of reporting posts you don't like and having them removed, just unfollow and leave like your dad did.
Wow! If I could drop the mic, I would right now. Cause that was
well, I'm just saying, I mean, if she's thinking that we're rude, hateful, and it's idiotic drivel, I mean...
Well, and the thing is, so far, up to this point, it's still a free country, so, Gail, if you didn't want to watch, what made you stay tuned?
That's what, yeah, you know, and then continue on and leave us a
And go
leave
so
us
far
a review
as to just,
and,
instead of just, I know if I see something I don't like, I just close it.
Thank goodness we're not on Yelp.
Yerp.
Oh, we should.
So that's our latest Yerp review.
Yeah, and it's clearly, I mean, anybody that, for the most part, you know, people that are patrons here at the restaurant or people that comment and respond for the most part, they know the mentality and the mindset that, you know, you and I have and
yeah.
that most of the people that come in here have.
Yeah.
And that's not a anti-vaxxer and grandma killer and, you know, complete mask holes. It's no, you do you, I'll do me. I mean, just
yeah.
don't force your will upon me.
Yeah.
If you want to wear a mask, if you want a vaccine, whatever you want to do.
I've yet to trip anybody and drag them in here and force feed them.
And I don't care what you identify as. I don't care what you eat, if you like barbecue or not.
Yeah.
Just be you.
Be kind.
Be kind
always.
If you're not kind to us, just know.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get into
the Zen mindset.
Yeah, so
wait, the music coming up will put
so
you.
So we're gonna play a little bit of this podcast, which is wildly entertaining.
Get your tissues out.
And again, we're not trying to attack Miss Peacock and this podcast whatsoever.
No.
What my interest in this is the level of harassment that she has received. And we kind of understand a little bit of some of that, probably even more so, honestly. Again, I can't speak to her personal experiences. I can only speak to mine and those that you have seen here and, yep. and been a part of.
Well, and at one point in time, she mentions that even her home address was shared. Well, guess what? So was yours.
So was mine. Yeah, yeah exactly.
So it hasn't been all saints on either side.
Yeah, no.
But it's definitely, if you read some of the reviews and comments left here at the Pig, there's some real assholes out there.
So some things to note when listening to this as we kind of go through it, and we'll try and get through this quickly, but the production of this is slightly entertaining. There's some background music to it that really it feels kind of like you're...
They're trying to steer the listener.
I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. You know, not like we're the greatest of producers here and we do our show, but... again, you know, we're not trying to, we're, you know, everybody's got their right to free speech, but, you know, we've been criticized plenty. So, you know, well, I guess this is our attempt to perhaps criticize a little bit.
Yeah. And it's also convenient, the timing in which this podcast,
the Cry Me a River stuff. Yeah. I'm not buying it, for this particular individual. But again, like I said, she has been at the health department for 12 years and has done my understanding is a very good job at doing what she does. So we're not trying to tear this person down. We're trying to draw the comparison of all of a sudden this reaction that she has to where she has to resign from her job. And some of the other things that she says that sound a little bit like entitlement
well,
and some of these other
and
things.
And how it's so different from what restaurant owners had to go through.
Yeah.
And bar owners had to go
through. And, yeah, and Judy
salons,
not going to get a lot of sympathy.
And barbers had to go through. And, and the people, the 2,000 restaurants that went out of business in the state.
3,000.
3,000 people. 3,000 restaurants in the business went out of state. Yeah. You know, how they felt and the comments they had to hear. You know, both from people that were just plain angry that they couldn't come in and dine, or restaurants had a limited menu, or in your case, grandma killers, baby killers, tell people to climb in your ovens. I mean, you name it.
We'll see if we can post a link to this podcast as well. You know, we'll send stateside a little bit of traffic, maybe one or two links or clicks. But we may fast forward through some of this so you can listen to the whole thing if you like. It's 20 minutes in length, so it's not too bad. But so let's see if we can hear some of this.
This is stateside. I'm April Bear. Several times during the pandemic, when state and federal governments declined to act, it was local public health officials who had the job of deciding the road rules for the pandemic. It has not been an easy job.
Cue the music.
Variants and infection rates changing fast. Then there's the pushback. In many places, when city and county officials asked for mask rules and other guidelines, they found themselves targeted online and in real life.
Wait, you know, I didn't pick up on this before. Hold on, let me go back, because she says asked for for mandates. Fast.
Then there's the pushback. In many places, when city and county officials asked for mask rules and other guidelines,
Who were they asking?
And city and county officials never asked. Not in our case, not up
here. Actually, I didn't pick up on that before when I was listening to that. But I cannot compute that whatsoever. So
she didn't ask. She
this host is saying that the health department was asking the state.
No, because the state left it to the schools.
I'm so confused by this, man. Hold on, I gotta.
It has not been an easy job. It's variants and infection rates changing fast. Then there's the pushback. In many places, when city and county officials asked for mask rules and other guidelines, they found themselves targeted online and in real life.
Okay, so asking. So that's not, a mandate is not an ask.
No, it was an order.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to make that clear.
And it wasn't from city and county officials.
That's so odd and confusing.
People have taken pictures.
No, it was by the state health department.
In places where I wasn't aware. People have circulated my address, my personal cell phone number on Facebook, like Storm Lisa Peacock, here's her number. We're going to organize a group to go to Lisa Peacock's house and let her know how much we don't like this mask mandate. You start to feel terrorized. You start to feel like people are after you.
Hang on.
Lisa Peacock is...
That, again, I'm not aware... You know, you and I both follow these groups and a lot of the groups she's talking about. I'm not aware of anybody trying to organize a group to go to her house. I know there were several times that the health department people were asked to go to basically picket and boycott. But I'm not aware of anybody, and I don't know anything, so it might be true. But, I mean...
I don't know either, and I think, you know, we were talking about this before we started shooting... that one of our Otsego County commissioners actually mentioned that at the Board of Health meeting where they were accepting her resignation letter or voting to accept it.
Yep.
And Julie Powers made a comment about, you know, I haven't seen or heard any proof of these allegations that she speaks of. And that's not to say that there aren't any.
Well, and I think, and I don't know as far as pictures either, but I know one of the pictures that was circulated was of someone's wedding. Where she was not masked.
Yeah.
At the start of it.
And you know what? Ask anybody that has been in a position to have their picture taken at a restaurant. We've had our servers had their pictures taken without them knowing. Whether or not those pictures were before or after, the whole point is you shouldn't be taking anybody's picture. But it's so ridiculous to try and play these gotcha games.
Do you remember, and I brought this up to you, there was some asshole taking pictures of my family, including my daughter, sitting here eating.
Yep.
And he was clearly from someone. I'm going to call it what it was. He was working for somebody in here for a reason because he wasn't eating and was literally recording my, at the time, 18-year-old daughter and my entire family.
Yeah. We, this is part of the dichotomy of what we're trying to point out here. can't really say hypocrisy, but I guess you could. But what we're trying to present is kind of both sides of the coin. So when we're speaking of people are coming to your house or people are taking your picture or a picture from before and trying to present it as this, we are very well aware of all of that. Mm-hmm. Not saying that any of it's okay and we got it, therefore she should get it. No. We're not saying any of that. We're going to take one more quick break here. We're going to play a little bit more of this podcast and get some reaction from it. All right, we're back. Murphy's Law Podcast. We'll play a little bit more of a recent interview from the, I guess she's not really former, she's soon to be former health director.
Till April 29th, that is?
The lovely Miss Lisa Peacock.
Stepping down from two jobs. She's health director for the Health Department of Northwest Michigan, an agency that covers four counties, including Antrim and Otsego. She also has jurisdiction in the Benzie-Leelanau District Health Department that contracts with HDNM. Today, she's going to tell us about the harassment that has shaken her faith in her work, leading her 2 years into the pandemic to step away. But way before anyone had ever heard of COVID,
way before.
Lisa Peacock was the latest in the line of healthcare and public health workers in her family.
Yep.
I have opportunity to get a career. So,
and not skipping past this to denigrate her by any means, but she just goes through, you know,
her
again, if you want to listen to the whole thing, she talks about her long history of her family and her background and. You know, she's more than qualified to handle the position that she's had.
Well,
this is not a character assassination attempt by us.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's a testament that up until the last 2 years that we didn't really know anything about her because in the walks of day-to-day life, why would we?
Right.
We wouldn't need to.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those departments that should and always has followed or functioned smoothly behind the scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Years. I've been in my current position or at my current employer for the last 12 years.
Lisa, you told your board this week that you did not expect to be leaving the job. Can you say more about what you have enjoyed or things that have fed you over the past couple of years?
Kind of a weird way of putting the question.
So many things have fed me. I was drawn to the Health Department of Northwest Michigan 12 years ago because I always admired that health department. They were always a leader in many innovative projects and anything public health. They were always at the forefront. And I just wanted to be part of it. And then they had a job open up as a nurse practitioner. I applied and, you know, went there. I live an hour away from that agency and I've driven an hour to work every day for 12 years and have never regretted it and never not been excited about going to work until recently. We just have done such an incredible team.
Why then did you decide that it was time to go?
So, the pandemic has been difficult for sure, but even early in the pandemic, we, that's the kind of thing that most public health practitioners, it's kind of the culmination of everything you've learned how to do, everything you've prepared for. You know, when that vaccine arrived last December and we gave our first shots within 24 hours of receiving it, you can only do that when you have such a well-oiled machine that knows exactly what to do and they have the heart to make sure that the community could be protected. I mean, those things fed me. I am extremely disappointed to be leaving at this time. I'm not ready. I am not done. I am at the peak of my public health career. I fully intended for this job to be my last stop. I was looking.
So I want to stop right there really quick. And part of the overall arching conversation that they're attempting to have is what's happening in public health as it relates to the pandemic and the stresses that it's putting on that entire system and these people that are having to make these decisions. Well, what I find interesting is they're attempting to try and tell this story in only under one lens,
just trying to paint the narrative.
And I
can't help but say it, but if that's the peak, what's the valley gonna look like?
speaking as the president of the Michigan Association of Vocal Public Health this year. And unfortunately, the political conditions around public health across the state have been difficult, but in particular in my jurisdiction of the health department.
It disappoints me that somebody that has been around this health department for 12 years has decided to not attempt to be a part of fixing the process that is broken.
Yeah, not working with the communities, which is
that to me is what this whole thing is about, is their processes are broken. The Board of Health had major disagreements, tried to remove her, and I think she talks about this coming up.
She does.
So there is a lot of consternation on that board. Members have resigned, new members have come in place. It's disappointing to me to see a leader. And I just say leader that way because, to me, if you care so much about what you do and this department, why would you not try and fix the processes that have led to this entire issue? That's one of my biggest things.
Well, and, you know,
and I understand that things have transpired that, you know, in a relationship like this, in an employer-employee situation, when somebody hands in a resignation letter, you know, I'm not really that inclined to try and talk you out of it if it's something that your heart is no longer into.
Yeah, Commissioner Marcus did a great job of pointing that out last night, that, you know, you don't want to work for me anymore, then okay.
But this conversation is about what is happening to public health officials, and there's no discussion about wanting or trying to fix it. It's basically like, no, I don't like it. It hasn't worked out. I'm getting harassed, and I'm done. I don't want to be a part of the solution. I was completely the problem-ish. She was following an unconstitutional law. So in that way, I will defend her. So let's keep this going.
Michigan, I just can't seem to turn this around. I can't seem to bring us back to the productive relationship that this health department has always had with their Board of Health.
So it's not exactly a secret that public health officials at a variety of levels have been dealing with a lot the past 2 years, from, you know, just verbal abuse from members of the community, sometimes folks doing things that they felt was threatening. Can you just give us an idea of the kind of external challenges that you have dealt with over the past 2 years?
Sure.
Again, kind of another weird
external challenges,
fruity question.
It's painful to have hate directed at you from people who don't know you at all and make assumptions about you, you know, that I hate children or that I don't care about the community or things like that. And so that's
killing grandmas, endangering my community.
Oh, time you heard that.
All of these things have been launched in this direction as well. So again, I'm not inclined to have an ounce of sympathy for any of that.
And you know, you had mentioned following state orders. And, you know, thinking back to other lawsuits like the Let Them Breathe, which I was talking to one of the parents earlier today, nobody made her order masks on all the students. I mean, what happened to an appointed and or elected official listening to the constituents that put them in that position?
So that's my whole point of, you know, I mean, our lawsuit points that out, that they're delegating too much power to those people, essentially, right? Whether it's at the state level or the local level. That is what I'm talking about when I'm saying fixing the processes that have caused all of this. And I don't know what that is. I don't know enough about the Board of Health and how these things work. But what I do know is that the current process and how they do this now, especially that the Board of Health and this health director position is so important.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming up because, you know, to me, it's incredibly wrong when a board can appoint a position but can't remove someone from said position.
Yeah, and that's what I think they need to figure out how those things need to work properly because the people are upset and this Board of Health is spending, you know, the last count we got last night was $52,000, I think, something like that, on this one particular case in this one jurisdiction. And they have another lawsuit that they're also dealing with from another county. But we're going to play a little bit more of this. We're going to take another quick break.
back from the break. We're going to continue on with listening to a little bit of this podcast from our resigning health board director, Lisa Peacock.
To have hate directed at you from people who don't know you at all and make assumptions about you, you know, that I hate children or that I don't care about the community or things like that. And so that stings. But I know that those thoughts and fears are coming from a place of fear. Fear for one's health, fear for one's, you know, liberty, fear for one's privacy, fear for one's family or children. I can live with that. I can move on, and I can understand that somebody's just in a different place than I am, and it's okay. What's been so hard for me most recently is the lack of support from my employer. One of the reasons that I love both of the health departments that I serve is that we have a long-standing culture of support for our employees. And my style as a manager is to support and lift up our employees and make sure that they know that they're cared about, that they have the tools that they need to succeed, that they're properly trained, that they feel supported and know that we care about their families. And when I'm not receiving that same kind of support and even really the opposite of that, purposeful actions to terminate me or to reduce my resources to a point where I can't do my job, you know, I just can't continue. It's hard for me to provide that environment for others when I...
So when she's referring to diminishing the resources, there was an attempt to go after funding. There was an attempt to...
Yeah, to withhold funding to the health department.
Do a few other things in lieu of being able to remove her from that board. Whether you agree with it or not, that was the mechanism that they were trying to use, you know, the purse strings approach.
Yeah, and you know, for those that don't know, so it came out in all this that each county has the ability to withhold funding to the health department. So there was a lot of discussion with our board of commissioners as well as other counties had the same conversation. And you know, what's surprising when she talks about lack of support is, it's not surprising. It's how our system works to where when this board, which is made up of two county commissioners from each of the four counties, they're listening to the constituents. They're listening to the people to which they serve.
Right.
So their decisions are based on what they're hearing in their communities.
Right.
So when she says she doesn't have support from her board, the board's doing their job. They're listening to the people that they're put there to serve.
Right.
And sharing their thoughts and opinions.
And I don't know if it's her not fundamentally understanding how, you know, the simplest form of representative government works at the local level. I don't believe that to be true. She's a smart gal.
Yeah, she's been doing this a while.
but that is essentially what has happened, is the decisions that she made, whether unilaterally or bilaterally with Dr. Meyerson, it's the same thing either way. They used what is now an unconstitutional law in order to enact the mandates in the fall of 2020, and then the mask mandate in late summer of 2021,
which is when things really heated up.
And that's really what heated it up, right? It wasn't anything that we did. It was the fall mask mandate, August 23rd or whenever that was.
No, and the whole time, and I remember being in a meeting here when you were talking to the parents and, you know, advising them that, you know, the way to fight this is not with emotions, not with anger, find the flaws in the process. And the Iron Pig, all the arguments have been a flaw in the process, you know, a failure to follow the process that they outlined in serving,
yeah,
as well as, you know, an unconstitutional law, which, again, I can't say this enough, that whole MCL, that loophole that they tried to exercise, a three-paragraph long MCL, and only really one of which applied to their orders.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunate, and, you know, to think that there's not going to be any accountability for the things that you did to me is preposterous. Or not did to me, but did to me and everybody else.
Right.
All the parents, the kids.
Collectively, yeah.
Collectively, all the restaurants. I mean, and yeah, and I guess I can say to me, to tell me where I can and can't go.
Yeah.
To tell me what I can and can't do, that I can't go sit in a restaurant, that I can't... I mean, to tell me.
I would suggest that she should not necessarily be upset at her employers, the commissioners, if you will. She should be mad at either the health department director, Bob Gordon, and or Elizabeth Hurdle.
That put her in the original position.
That basically told them this is the avenue that you have at your disposal. There was different ways to go about it. As we pointed out in previous podcasts, and we pointed out in our lawsuit or our appeals, Ingham County Health Department got it right by going in and seeking out and using actionable information. The ones that we pointed out were the sororities and fraternities.
Yeah, they actually posted a notice on the you know, the houses.
Yeah. I mean, they had evidence that there were outbreaks in these particular places, and they went specifically to them.
Put on the door, there may be COVID exposure.
Why could not have been implemented at a school level? You know, I mean, it's if that were the case, you know.
I know we've long since lost track, but, you know, we've long since lost track of how many days, but still no contactors here
still
at Iron Pit.
Still none. I don't even think that's a thing anymore.
No, it's not. Nothing's really a thing anymore.
We've got some interesting FOIA requests that are coming up regarding the use of the anonymous tip line. So when we hear things and comments about people were calling me, people were doing this, the harassment, the bullying, I don't know of anybody that set up an anonymous tip line to harass Lisa Peacock.
No.
So the government's got one there on us.
Well, and how many of those calls, because I know you followed up a lot of them, how many of those were you told, you know, Ian, I'm sorry, it was anonymous? What happened to people being accountable for their actions?
They're virtually all anonymous. You know, we had an interesting interaction with our local health inspector Holly, who's outstanding, probably one of the
you've
best
always spoke really highly of her
inspectors that I've ever had to deal with. Not that I've been doing this for forever, but the 20 years roughly that I've been around restaurants, she was in for a biannual inspection, and the very next day there was a complaint about literally seeing a mouse or a rat
a whole
or something
family of mice.
In the restaurant. And she came by, and you know, she knew it was bullshit, but she's got to do her job and has to follow up and make sure. And she's like, "Why? I didn't see any evidence of any of that yesterday." Blah blah blah. So there is plenty of that kind of stuff that is happening. So again, I'm not really inclined to have a whole lot of sympathy for some of the things that she's alleging that did happen. And I don't have a lot of reason to suspect that they don't, but to the severity of which that they did happen is subjective. But
if she faced a third of the trolls that you did, I feel bad for her. I mean, because, you know, and that's the other thing, that people that that commented about the pig and got nasty, they were all trolls. I mean,
all
they would
them.
Make up fake IDs.
All of them.
No accountability for your comments or your actions.
You know, she is right when she mentions the fear that she was just talking about a moment ago that we were playing. You know, a lot of this is derived out of fear. She's not wrong in that aspect.
Your wife was freaked out when somebody published your home address.
Yeah.
I mean, that really shook her to the core, because that's crossing the line. On Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving,
and again,
yeah.
Ironically enough, that we were having Friendsgiving here.
Yeah.
Just us, a small group of friends. It wasn't a party. The doors weren't open. It was...
Yeah.
So to throw out your voter registration information, your address, and everything, I'm like, come on, that's crossing the line.
Right. Right. More
so if that
evidence
happened,
that
I agree with Lisa that that's...
my sympathy level is so let's play a couple more minutes of this here.
I can't count on that environment from my own employer.
I read that there was a move afoot to cancel your contract for the one part of your job. Are you able to tell us anything more about that?
Yeah, well, it's been discussed in open meetings. So sure, you know, two open meetings in particular that were very difficult, September 7th and November 2nd.
We can probably skip this portion. Yeah. We've alluded
we know
to
that,
it a little bit.
And that first one was rowdy. That was
They had a couple of open meetings where the masks were first discussed.
Parents showed up in force.
They did. I mean, I always talk about the mama bears. You know, they woke up the hockey moms and the mama bears, and you don't want to get
them
pissed off.
You had four counties where it showed up that one meeting.
It's tough for, I'll say this as delicately as I can, it's tough for some of us guys to come out and express ourselves at open meetings. Sometimes they think that we're angry, you know, when we're loud means angry. And even not just us guys, I mean, a lot of these women that have gone to these meetings, they are being berated because they're loud, and they're loud and angry. It's like, it's not the same.
And some of them have even been labeled as terrorists.
Yeah. Well, there's a superintendent downstate that's in a lot of hot water for looking up social media accounts.
There's a lot of superintendents in hot water.
Doing some stuff, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Murphy's Law Podcast. Let's keep going here.
Those things add up, and they're traumatizing, and it's had a serious impact on my health. It's had a serious impact on my family. I have four children who are adults and live in different areas. They continue to watch the local news. They continue to be part of these Zoom meetings. My 80-year-old parents watch these Zoom meetings.
Why?
And I just, it's time yeah. to say
That's
enough.
So traumatizing. I thought why are they still watching?
Lisa, you said that at one point you decided to just take a couple of weeks and that you have suffered health impacts because of this. Can you just describe what it's like to be living with that level of stress?
I want to point out that, you know,
can you just tell me, here's the couch. Can you just tell me the level of stress
again,
that you have endured
the
from
music
your government
is, the
paid
music is the
job
best.
For the last 2 years?
Well, and I want to point out again that things really ramped up.
Medical paid leave, come on.
Yeah, that ultimately when things really got fired up as a result of that meeting in September where, you know, the Charlevoix Library was, you know, flooded with parents, mama bears. From that point forward, everything was based on her decisions.
Right.
Her decisions. Those were not ordered by the governor. The governor at that point said, let every school district decide on their own, develop their own plan of action, to which every school district in the four county area did, but she individually forced that into place.
So there is something that we're gonna talk about in a later podcast down the road, and it's the idea of scientism and scientocracy, if you will.
Yes.
That
science versus propaganda.
Science is the end all be all of any decision-making process whatsoever, right? On top of the fact, the air of entitlement that comes along with, and we've seen it, I saw it last night at the Board of Health. I have a degree, therefore I know better than you. That sort of thing. And then on top of the fact, you start to add in this adulation of scientists. We've seen plenty of people that adore Fauci.
Yes.
When you have an embroidered pillow of a of a doctor behind you, there's something going on there that is new.
And when that doctor contacts Topps and asks them to make a Fauci baseball player card because he threw the first pitch. That's when things have changed. I remember Aaron Rodgers said it best when, because you know Aaron Rodgers, if anybody that's been following this, faced a fair amount of heat for his comments regarding COVID and vaccinations and things of that nature. And he was one that brought up a good point that the second you stop questioning science, it becomes propaganda.
Yeah.
It's no longer science.
There's just become this new move, in my opinion, new, moving towards the idea of a scientist or a doctor putting forth information and you cannot question that information solely based on the fact that Dr. Bob said that he did this study, that study, and you cannot question it because a scientist put it forth. And to me, that is completely counterintuitive to exactly what science is. Science is the question of everything.
Well, and look where the last 2 years has taken us. If that be the case, you know, it started off, we're going to eradicate COVID. 15 days flat in the curve, we're going to eradicate. So now all of a sudden here we are to where, okay, COVID's not going anywhere. We just have to learn to live with it, which is what, you know, certain people have said all along that we just have to learn to live with it. It's not going anywhere. The strains are getting weaker and weaker. It's going to come back every year. We're just going to have to deal with it and be okay. Well, that's because the last 2 years of science. And it's ironic, though, that a lot of those same people were the ones that started off in the beginning saying, follow the science.
Right.
Well, certain people have been all along, and the science has changed monthly, if not weekly.
Well, you know what's really, the science that's really changed is the political science.
That's the political part. Is that's it ironic?
That might be a new t-shirt. Write that down.
Do you think it's ironic that the CDC mask recommendations came out less than a week before the State of the Union?
Don't even get me started on that. Let's keep rolling through this here.
I can. You know, people have taken pictures of me in places where I wasn't aware. People have circulated my address, my personal cell phone number on Facebook, like Storm Lisa Peacock, here's her number. We're going to organize a group to go to Lisa Peacock's house and let her know how much we don't like this mask mandate. You start to feel terrorized. You start to feel like people are...
We had one point, and I don't know this to be true, but even at the mere suggestion of it is really disgusting. Somebody left us a message threatening that there was a Facebook group of COVID-positive people that were planning to come to the Iron Pig.
Oh, and I remember the comments of, I hope you get COVID and may you die. You know, and I read... I think it was on the...
I hope you get COVID. I mean, that's an easy one. But to come up with the idea that there actually was or is a Facebook group of COVID positive, that doesn't even make sense.
I like the ones that say that you should be denied. Gross. I'm a nurse and you shouldn't get treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good ones.
Just weird. Counterintuitive.
When I took that medical leave, I turned off every
paid medical leave
type of location services that I had. My Peloton bike, my...
Your Peloton? What? Does anybody else think about it the same way I do? Yeah, your Peloton.
I about fell out of my chair when I first heard her say that.
I was on a bike when I heard that and about fell off. Well, it's been days.
But why does that
I turned
come
off
to mind
location
right
services
away.
On my Peloton.
I just it's such an entitled thing to say to me that I'm just
I don't have one. Do Pelotons have location servers? Because, like, as far as I know, they're in your house. They don't move.
That whole comment baffles me, dude.
These have location services.
The whole comment baffles me. Let's listen to it again. Hold on.
Okay, yeah.
You start to feel terrorized. You start to feel
another t-shirt.
Like,
I turned off my Peloton.
when I took that medical leave, I turned off every type of location services that I had, my Peloton bike, my cell phone, all of it, because I started, you know, taking extra precautions at my house. And even when I returned to work, the threats and the harassment continued. And, you know, there were several days that I didn't go to work in Charlevoix because I was not only afraid that, you know, that I would encounter someone in the community who hated me so much that they might do something. You know, I had had an experience.
And that's probably a real fear.
September 7th.
Probably.
Unfortunately, it's probably a real fear.
Based on her decisions.
And so I wasn't sure that her I was safe decision. In that community. And then it erodes your confidence. You know, like I said, I was supposed to be, right now, I'm supposed to be serving as the president of our local health association. And I was so excited. But this experience is so distracting that I haven't been able to take that role on. And thankfully, my colleague who served in that role before me has been willing to keep it. But, you know, I'm disappointed that I couldn't do that.
You know, at the same time, I want to point out the fact that, yes, there was a lot of conversation regarding parents encouraging other parents to contact the health department and let them know how they feel, which to their health department's response was not taking any more messages, not checking their mailboxes so they're full so nobody could leave more messages, shutting off commenting on their Facebook page so yep. parents could not voice their opinion,
yep.
and then turning around and lying about the response data in regards to correspondence from parents pro versus con, to say that there was literally no opposition to the mask mandates.
They're trying to limit, they are limiting.
That's controlling the narrative.
They're
plain
limiting
simple.
Public comment times, which a lot of places are now in lieu of so many people coming to public comment, so they don't have to be at these meetings all times of the night. Part of that I do understand. But that's not what this was necessarily designed to do. They tried to do 2 minutes. Thankfully, they... past 3 minutes. 3 minutes is hardly enough time.
That's barely enough. People don't get past the intro for that.
A coherent point out whatsoever. So it's interesting to me. There's a little bit more of this podcast that goes on and talks about vaccine mandates and some other stuff that she was involved with. But at the end of the day, really kind of what the dichotomy that we're trying to point out here is, here is somebody that is crying wolf after the fact, after she's implemented mandates. I don't feel any sympathy for her after, you know, she basically shut our restaurant down. And what I haven't told, we've mentioned it a few times, but we don't talk about it at great length. I actually reached out to her health department the day before we decided to open back up.
Well,
and their response to me and my olive branch to them was to show up 30 minutes after we opened the next day and serve a cease and desist, an incorrect cease and desist, might I add, because they had our coffee shop on there as well.
Yeah, wrong address.
And I knew right from there that it was going to be a shit show, and they had no idea what was going on.
Well, because you had the opportunity, the original thought, because we were here with wrapping paper, to go about it the speakeasy way. Yeah. And I remember you saying, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And you actually called them and said, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I mean, come after me. Well, do what you need to do, but this is what I'm doing. You didn't hide anything from anybody.
I never have. I never try. I got nothing to hide.
No, reading the comments, clearly.
Yeah, right? Exactly. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. If you want to listen to this whole thing, we'll post it on the link with this episode as well. Thanks for joining us. On behalf of Chris Kuhn, I'm Ian Murphy, Murphy's Law Podcast.